more I see it, the more it's about feel, the more it's about understanding different weapons, and it's about having confidence in those weapons, and it's not about speed. You don't need to throw 95, but if you throw 95, you can miss over the heart quite a bit and get away with it. Same thing with running. If you have speed, yeah, you can use these tools, and you're going to have a little more room for error. But if you don't have the speed, you can get really good at these tools, recognize times where you can be successful, and push those.
You're dialed in to the ABCA's Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, connecting our coaches with some of the best baseball minds in our game. Now here's your host, Jeremy Schiedinger.
We are broadcasting live from the ABCA National Office here in Greensboro, North Carolina. And if you're interested in growing and developing and really challenging what you're doing in this game, whether you're a coach, a parent, a player, you're dialed in exactly where you're supposed to be, into our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast, because this is about connecting all of us with some of the very best baseball minds in our game, taking their knowledge and applying it to what we're doing. All about an effort to improve ourselves, enhance our players and our programs, but we're also excited about growing the game of baseball along with you, and that's the mission of this podcast. So thank you guys for listening in, and we get to bring this podcast to you in large thanks to our proud sponsor, AstroTurf. Now, these are the guys who are the leaders in the turf industry. They've been doing it for almost 50 years and staying ahead of the curve in their design and their materials, but also in their installation of over 200 fields around the country. So if you're interested or thinking about taking your field to a new level, head over to astroturf.com and connect with the pros and see how AstroTurf can help take your field to a brand new level. Now, with today's show, we're sitting down and talking base stealing with Matt Tallarico, assistant coach at Wright State University and also the creator of SteelBases.com. Matt's been up on our main stage before. He's been, as an assistant, ranking his offenses among the nation's elite, and a lot of it has to do with his base running plan. He was an obvious choice to jump on this podcast with us. And we get Matt to really divulge a great deal of information about what's inside his program, the mentality, the implementation, changing the way his players view the game. I love some of the stuff that comes out of this podcast, guys, the takeaways about building confidence, raising the IQ of his players through his base running plan. This is packed with great information. Again, another one of those take feverish notes episodes. But again, if you're looking to change your offense and you're looking to broaden your scope of how you score runs, start with this podcast. Start with the information that Coach Tallarico's given us today on how to really attack the bases aggressively, but also intelligently. Packed with great information. It's a dynamite episode for you guys, and we're excited to bring it to you. So let's not waste any more time. Let's get right into it with Matt Tallarico, assistant coach at Wright State University, as we're talking about stealing bases. Pop in the earbuds, boys. Throw the feet up in the air. Here comes this great podcast coming at you right now. If you're dialed into this podcast today, coaches, and you're looking to take your offense to a brand new level, you're looking to become more dynamic, put some more bullets back in your belt of what you can do offensively, let's talk about stealing bases. And what we're going to do is sit down with one of the very best in the game, one of the leaders at the forefront of really attacking the stealing bases mentality and how to apply it to the game and our teams. We're talking with the creator of SteelBases.com, also the assistant coach at Wright State University, a proud ABCA member, Matt Tallarico. Matty, thanks for being on the show with us today.
Sheets, I appreciate you having me. Thanks a lot.
Well, we're excited to get down and talk about this. It's one of my favorite topics to talk about, but more importantly, I think for our listeners, Matty, it's a great opportunity for them to challenge what they're doing from a base running perspective. And we're getting, again, blow some smoke at you, but one of the very best that's out there doing it. And I think before we go into that, one of the most critical things that you and I were talking about before we got recording was just how entrenched you are and you have been with the ABCA. We appreciate that, being a loyal and proud member, 10 consecutive years, been to 10 consecutive conventions. I know you spoke a few years ago up on the main stage, but if you could, give our listeners just a quick glimpse of the ABCA and what that's meant to you as a coach.
Well, first of all, thanks. I appreciate you saying that. I'm extremely lucky. From my coaching background, you know, right when I got into coaching, I can remember the first, it was probably November. I forget when I got my plane ticket, or we drove, it was in Philly. And I can remember I had a few coaches that I looked up to, and they said, hey, you're going to love this thing. You got to find a way to go. You know, nobody was able to, most of the years nobody's been able to pay for me to go to the convention. I've just had to make it happen.
Sure.
Back then I didn't have any money, so it was tough. And I scrounged together some money. I think I partnered up. I might have had six roommates that year.
Right.
To afford a hotel room.
Been there before.
I loved it. I've always made the point. I don't know what's the right way to do it. I've met a lot of people from the ABCA convention. I've always made it a point to go to every speaker I can, up until the last couple of years when I've been, meeting with groups of people to talk about base sailing. I went years where I didn't miss one speaker, including the high school guys in the middle, where I know a lot of college guys get up and go to lunch. Some of the best speakers I've seen are in that time. And, it seems like it's always, you look forward to the big names, but it's crazy how those are always good, but I always find somebody I didn't expect that I can take something back from. Mm-hmm. So I've been very, very lucky. I went again last year. I thought it was great last year. I thought last year was one of the better years. I think what you're doing, what some of the people you work with are doing, you guys just keep making it better. So I'm very grateful. And a lot of this base sailing stuff really sparked, at least I got the ball rolling a little more, from my relationship with Coach Mike Roberts that I ultimately met out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm extremely lucky.
It's pretty awesome. You're referencing the Anaheim convention, and guys, I've known Matty. I mean, it's 10, 12 years, but what was awesome was walking around the hotel, and I walk into this lobby area, and Matty is holding court with probably 50 coaches. If you actually scroll back through our tweets during that time, that was one tweet I was very proud to put out in terms of just, this is what ABCA convention's all about. It's about getting inside the main stage and seeing those guys, but it's more about the conversations that are outside the clinic hall and the opportunity to sit there and listen to different guys, how people are doing different things, challenging your why. And Coach Tallarico was leading the charge in that regard, but he was talking base running, which again brings us right back to this podcast today. But I think where we need to start, Tally, if it's okay, is just go through your career in baseball, because I think bringing guys up to speed of where you came from that got you to the place that you're at right now would be perfect.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a very, very proud Indiana high school baseball product. I went to a small college in Indiana. Coach Espeset recruited me at Manchester, and it was one of those things where, I took a visit not knowing what to expect, and I found a fit. And I always tell people that that's the most important thing, is finding a fit. What I didn't know, this is my ninth or 10th year coaching college ball, and I've been around some great, great coaches that I'm very lucky to be around. I didn't know I was going to sign up to play for possibly the best, the best baseball mind, that in 4 years I was going to learn so much about baseball and how to play the game. And I use so much of how I coach right now from my 4 years in college, from playing with Coach Espeset, from Coach Derek Woodley, who came in as an assistant, who's at Defiance now. I mean, I've been around a lot of guys I know now that that isn't just offered to anyone. And I got that offered at a school with, probably 1,200 students. So I was very lucky. Through that playing time, we actually played Heidelberg, who Coach Palm hired me for my first job to go out to Tiffin and coach at Heidelberg, where we were able to do quite a bit of winning back then. So it was really fun, my first 2 years of coaching. But more than anything, I have to credit him probably more than anybody for the base sailing stuff, just because he let me have so much freedom. I can't believe he did it looking back now, but he let me really take two guys, a fast guy and kind of a mediocre runner who just played the game hard, and just experiment with them. And it really worked out for one. And the faster guy, he never really got the feel, but the hard-nosed kid stole like 14 or 15 bags that year, didn't get thrown out. And he really sparked everything, where it's like, oh my gosh, like more people can do this. But anyway, so from Heidelberg, I went to Toledo for Coach Gore and me for a year. and then Dayton for 5 years for Coach V out there, and then Coach Love brought me on at Wright State, and I'm extremely fortunate to be where I am now. Coach Mercer, my boss, and then Nate Metzger and Alex Sogard, I believe that we have, you know, everybody says this, I believe we have one of the best coaching staffs in the country, but I also believe we take a lot of pride in development. We take a lot of pride being kind of innovative in how we do things, and that really lets my mind work. Obviously, when you hear some of this base getting stuff, if you're not familiar with it, it's very innovative, in my opinion, and, you know, that's from Coach Mercer. Always, I mean, not only does he let me do it, but he might be the first coach that pushes me to think more and encourages me to think more. And that, believe that spreads to our players a lot. So that's kind of where I came from, but I'm very lucky with the background that I have for sure.
Absolutely. Well, I'll echo that. I think you do have one of the best coaching staffs in the country. Love Jeff and those guys and what you all are doing there. And it's evident on what's happening on the field for you. I think to dive into this, and this is where we kind of start to unpack stealing bases as a whole, but I know your relationship with Mike Roberts, who's an ABCA Hall of Famer, and we had on our show last year and just did an outstanding job working with the Cubs now and really talking base running through his plan. And that relationship, that opportunity to sit down and talk with him, Matty, I know really completely changed the way you viewed everything when it comes to stealing bases, and you've taken it and ran with it. And I know he's a proud mentor of yours, and obviously you give him a lot of credit as well. If you could start to talk through that relationship of when stealing bases just became your passion and one of your main focuses in coaching.
Yeah, Coach Roberts has, you know, definitely been huge for me. I can remember calling him for the first time. I felt like, you know, the first time, I don't know, fifth grade, I'm trying to call a girl on the phone. I'm shaking and like hanging up, and that's how it was. I just called him, and you know, I called him on the road. I couldn't believe he answered. I was all set to leave him a message, and he answered, and he talked for me for like an hour and a half. I believe it or not, he didn't know this, but I recorded it. I still have it.
It's awesome.
And I can remember everything we talked about. And really, I was at a good point in my career. I was at my second year, and like I had mentioned, I had this one guy who was fast, but he just never let it loose. Like, he stole a lot of bases in a year, but I always felt like there was more, you know, to add some new options. So, you know, we were pretty much going off the pitcher-catcher times. We'd find ways to be a little bit creative, but Coach Roberts really opened that up quite a bit. And like I said, it never really worked for that guy. And that's kind of got me motivated. It's like, I want to be able to teach everybody how to do it. And when I have one or two guys, it just doesn't click for it. Mm-hmm. Kind of keeps me searching and trying to learn. And he kind of sparked that. But, you know, we had a good year that year at Toledo. The next year we had a good year trying to use it with the whole team, but it was really with my time at Dayton where I really got to know him, where, you know, I'd reach out. We were doing some really good things as a team there. And, you know, just reaching out to him and having him to bounce some ideas off of, and hearing what he'd say. But it really started evolving from there to where I feel like for the college game, we had to make some adjustments. And that's evolved to what you'd see now if you play us today. But mm-hmm. I think my passion started way before that. I can remember being a little kid wanting to steal bases. I can remember arguing a wiffle ball over in the backyard over whether we were able to lead off or not. I just knew the big leaguers did it. I wanted to do it. In college, I stole bases, but it pretty much, I mean, I'd run on the catcher, and, you know, to have options was the biggest thing, and the spark of creativity that Coach Roberts inspired. But really, through the coaching, I would say, you know, when I saw how much what eventually became the system that we use at stealbases.com, when I saw how much it helped us, when I saw how much it helped us produce runs, how it helped us get better pitches to hit, how it helped us to win in games where we weren't going to be there, you know, as far as getting 15 hits, you know, that's real when I began to love it like I love hitting or infield or anything like that. And that's really that was probably my first year at Dayton where I really, really dove into it, where it became a big part of our offense, a big part of what we used to recruit and bring guys in, and a big part of our every single day process. So it really helps players learn the game. It helps players think from a different angle. I'm really proud when guys steal bases. I am, but I'm really, really proud when they did it because they were thinking and they saw something, they addressed it, and it worked. That's when I'm really proud, and that's what I'm passionate about more than anything.
I got two things there. One is we're talking about the passion of Mike Roberts. If you go back and listen, guys, again, you've got his video on abcavideos.org from the convention, but if you even listen to the podcast, I think I left a couple of buzzes in where he was, his cheek was hitting the numbers on the phone because he was in his living room demonstrating leads and jumps. And I edited out a couple, left a couple in for effect. That's one thing. Number two is I love the fact that you're talking about how diving into the system and really truly understanding why we're stealing bases, what we're looking for, really thinking the game, you're actually raising the IQ of the players that you're coaching. And that's a fantastic part, but I'm going to stay on you for a second on that same topic. When you look back at when you first started coaching and what your IQ was then coming out of being a player of stealing bases to now and how you've invested in that process, you've certainly challenged what you're doing. But if you could kind of walk us through how much different those two perspectives are on just stealing bases from where you are in your coaching career.
Yeah. When I first came out of college, you know, it's pretty much like the, you know, fast people are going to go. That's it. Fast people go. If you run, you know, whatever the 60 is for your level, if you're one of the fastest guys, you're going to steal bases. And of course, we all know that's not necessarily true for both sides of them. Fast guys don't always go. Slow guys don't always not go, if that makes sense.
Yep,
slow guys
yep.
are, but, you know, from when I first started to kind of year to year, and it's still changing. In 5 years, you know, when we talk again, it's going to be changing. But the more I do this, the more I realize it's more about where you can be successful. It's like, what kind of tools do you offer as a base dealer and knowing where I can be successful and implementing those tools, you know, versus saying, does the catcher have a good pop time? Like, we get very detailed. Like, what's the pitching coach like to do? What's he like to do? Because most of us are habits. You know that.
Mm-hmm,
you know,
sure.
From definitely all your experience in college baseball, we're all creatures of habit. What's he like to do? Can we run on the pitching coach? Because most pitching coaches call pitches, is what I'm saying. So, so that's pretty much how it's changed. Truly, I believe that anybody can do it. I believe that, you know, some of my best guys have been very, very average runners at best. And, you know, the more I see it, the more it's about feel, the more it's about understanding different weapons. And it's about having confidence in those weapons, and it's not about speed. And one of my goals, I shouldn't say this because I'm going to jinx it, but one of my goals that I haven't accomplished as a base stealing team that we haven't accomplished in any places is to have every active position player with one stolen base. Like, that to me shows that people have the weapons and they're thinking and they know how to use it, but it also shows my viewpoint of, you know, anybody can do it. And back when I started, that definitely wasn't the case. So that's why we work hard. Everybody works on stealing bases. I don't care how fast or slow you are. So we
sure.
need two guys this year. Hopefully those last two guys can find a way to get a bag. Two away from accomplishing that. I don't know if we'll ever be able to do it. So.
We're pulling for you to pull that off.
Thank you.
Okay, so this is an interesting question. It's kind of a little off script, but I'm thinking about if you left Wright State after this year and you went to a brand new program and you had to start over and you had to implement a base running system into a brand new program that, let's just say, had no real experience base running and base stealing. Let's talk about a coach that's listening to this podcast that's wrapping up his season. He's looking at areas where they can be better. He's going to go through the summer and fall and reevaluate. But when he gets his team back there in fall practice, he wants to begin moving towards becoming a base stealing threat program and team. How do you start it?
First thing you have to do is you have to care. Like, you, and that sounds so simple, but you have to care about it. You have to care just like anything else you'd want in your life. If that's truly what you want to be important, you have to make it important. And that's about investing time.
Mm-hmm.
I did that when I went from Dayton to Wright State. You know, I was really fortunate to go with Coach Lovelady, brought me in at Wright State, and again, another guy that kind of let me work in the fall. I said, bear with me. It might be ugly at times, but I can tell you exactly what we did. In fact, that's actually what started the website, was I documented it, because I spoke at the 2013 convention in Chicago, if you were there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I spoke a couple different times at maybe Indiana, Ohio clinics, the high school clinics, and I would get a bunch of questions. And I was thinking, man, I wish I would have recorded that or documented that at Dayton.
Yep.
So I had another shot, so I did that. And I have a bunch of people learning and the process we went, but this is exactly what we did. I can remember the first day. Coach Mercer brought everybody up, and he said, guys, we brought Coach Tallarico in, and he gave a brief background. And I'm looking at all these guys that were incredibly talented that just came off the best win. I think they won 43 or 44 games the year before,
mm-hmm.
got beat by Illinois in the regional championship game, and they're all back, and they've all had success. And they're all looking at me, and they could have been thinking, why do we need this guy from across town? Like, we're good. Like, don't worry about us. We're going to hit homers. And they didn't. They couldn't be. You know, I just tried to get those guys passionate about running. I pulled up a bunch of video. I said, hey, bear with me. These are going to be, you know, from the crosstown rival, these videos. But you need to see guys that have had success that are like you. You know, mm-hmm. some guys are less athletic, maybe some guys more athletic, but they're like you. Just to show you can do it. So I got them to fall in love with the video and got them to fall in love with seeing people have success doing different types of ways to get momentum. Different, even our old school way of doing it, different types of ways of being successful, and just saying, we can be the best. We've got the guys in this room to be the best, and really just start to build the confidence. That's my goal right there. So we didn't even practice that day on it. I just showed a video. I talked about it, you know, and watched their eyes get bigger. Like, I can steal bases. I've never stolen. I run a 7-160. Like, I can have a role doing that. Yeah, you can have a role because this guy, Coach Gino Jared Broughton, right?
Yes, oh yeah, love
Piedmont,
JB.
They're one of the top D3 teams, maybe leading the country in stolen bases, mm-hmm. and he built that base stealing team at Earlham, who is another top team in the country right now.
Yep.
He's my best example. I love JB, but I show him stealing bases, and that he might have had 12 or 14 stolen bases in a year for me at Dayton. He was not a fast player, so I'll show players that just have good feel and say, you don't need speed to do this. Now, if you have speed, it's just like pitching. You don't need to throw 95, but if you throw 95, you can miss over the heart quite a
sure.
bit and get away with it.
Yeah.
You know, the same thing with bat speed and the same thing with running. If you have speed, yeah, you can use these tools and you're going to have a little more room for error.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't have the speed, you can get really good at these tools, recognize times where you can be successful and push those. And that's really what Jared did. And I'm really proud. That's one of the success stories for me. And I don't even know anybody on his team at Piedmont. I don't know anybody at the team at Earlham. And it's pretty cool to see that kind of spread.
Yeah, well, he's definitely a disciple of what you guys were doing there at Dayton. He brought that with him throughout his coaching career. I know he's very proud of what they're doing there in his first year as associate head coach there at Piedmont. And you mentioned this, and I'm gonna kind of lean in a little bit tougher on this, the confidence and the mentality behind this. To me, that's step number one. They've got to understand the mentality of why we're doing this. Like you said, you're staring at a group of guys that had a lot of success, and you're telling them, hey, this is another notch in our belt that we're going to be able to apply to the game. And obviously, you know, by doing it, it's going to increase their IQ, change their mentality and their focus on the game. But lean in a little bit on the confidence and the mentality element, and then we're going to come back to the specifics of the running plan itself.
Okay, yeah, perfect. The you know, you said it's step one. I don't know. I think it's the last thing they get. I think step one, we can
okay.
talk about how important it is. But for me, confidence can't be fake. Confidence comes through hard work. Confidence comes, for me, truly believing that I have something that's going to work, that's going to be better than what they have to defend. And that's where we start. Yeah, we'll talk about it right away,
mm-hmm.
and developing confidence. But confidence is something that kind of comes while they're learning. And then you look back and back, wow, he's a really confident base dealer. He's a really confident player. Well, that's because, you know, I believe, and we try to make our guys believe, whether it's true or false, that they know more than anybody on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody on the whole field, they know the most. And with knowledge comes confidence. With knowledge and with the ability to move safely and the ability to be low risk, high reward, that's when guys get really confident. Because why are they confident? Because they truly, truly believe that they're going to be successful in base jumping. They truly believe they've practiced it more. They truly believe they study it because they do. You know, so
sure.
So
great point.
I think that is it's a great byproduct of what we're doing here. Sometimes it bleeds offensively. I really believe when guys steal more, we get more fastballs. Good hitting teams hit fastballs. So if you can get them on fastball timing, as long as base stealers are on base, they're not going to flip a lot of breaking balls over. Mm-hmm. I believe it causes attention to first. And as long as we, again, have put in the work, we should be getting back safely. So it's always a risk to spin and throw it to first every single time you do it. If they don't do it the whole game, they have zero chance of throwing a ball away from at first. If they do it a ton, they have a better chance. So it really, really adds from a few different angles. And then I think confidence kind of grows as a team. I like where we are this year as far as a confidence level. Sometimes as we get going, if my really good teams, my 2012 team at Dayton that led the nation, 2011 team, I think we were fourth or seventh or something like that in the country. You got to pull them down a little bit. You have to say, hey, easy, easy. We can't just do that to everybody. You got to remember, look what you can take advantage of. If it's not there, don't do it. Low risk, high reward. So
that's a great point. I'm glad you clarified that. I probably misspoke, but love that. And I think when you're really bleeding that into your guys, you're dead on. They feel like they're the most knowledgeable guys on the field, and it translates into everything else. If we could, because again, I know there's a coach that's coaches that are listening in, and we talk about old school and new school. Love the language on this, where the majority of us as coaches teach old school way of stealing bases, and we focus on that because that's what we were taught and that's what we've brought. But you've brought, and Mike Roberts have brought, and you've adapted it. Is this new school way of really looking at creating momentum, getting some movement that bleeds into the steel jump itself? Could you kind of unpack both those for us?
Yeah. First with the terminology, which I do think is important in itself, that, we had to have a way to communicate. This is hard to communicate because we're really dealing with feel. You know, good base dealers have a feel of a good jump. It's not something that's like guessed or timed up perfectly. It's just a feel. When you have it, you go. And with that comes, you know, me asking how good that jump was. So even if I ask you that question right now, it's a hard one to answer. Like, that was a great jump. Well, what's that mean? That was an okay jump. What's that mean? So really starting to define what a good jump is. Mm-hmm. And with that came terminology of different leadoffs. I wasn't trying to market anything at the time or something. Anything like that. I just needed a way to talk to my runner at first. Because if you've been to any of our games, whether I'm running the show because the head coach got tossed or something like that, or it's a normal game, I'm always at first. I'll give signs at first if something would ever happen to Coach Mercer, which he's a pretty calm guy, so I don't think that's going to happen.
Right.
But if that were to happen, I give signs at first because I think it's important. And in fact, that's one of the things I tell a lot of my members if they call and talk, which a lot of them do, and I encourage them to do that, is coaching first is very, very valuable if you use it right. It can also be the guy that just collects batting gloves and says, hey, good job. It's whatever you want to make it. So what happened was I needed a way to communicate with my runners. I believe at Toledo's where we started, and I said, hey, just do this the old school way. You don't need to do any moving around. And then because the opposite would have been new school, that's actually mm-hmm. what we named it. And I, just to start, like we go from a standstill or the quote unquote old school way a lot. We still use that. And I really explain how we build a base dealer. From number one, we create this tool set where they have options. So it's like a Swiss Army knife that has all these different options on it. Everybody's got the main knife. That's our old school way of just running when the pitcher lifts his leg. And then you have all these other little weapons that you can pull out. And then the next thing we do is figure out where we can use these. Like the screwdriver and the Swiss Army knife, you need that for a specific task. You're not going to be able to cut anything with that. So it's like knowing what tool you need to use versus that pitcher or that catcher or that mm-hmm. pitching coach or how the middle infield's playing or how, if I'm stealing home, how the third baseman's playing. It's knowing what tool to use. which is every bit as important as the tool set you're creating. So first in the tool set, how do we create a tool set? Number one, you have to have a foundation. I say this all the time. And one of the cool things about the website is I'll get like high school travel ball youth coaches send me video, and that's so awesome. I love when they do it. They'll shoot me a text of video of, you know, let's say the youth team practicing, and they're like, how's my shuffle look? Because everybody's paranoid about shuffling and sure. getting too aggressive and, you know, selling out. Because, again, we want to be a low risk, high reward. Mm-hmm. And I won't even answer that. I'll say his leadoff's way too far. You right. know, it's like they, even in the video, they're not even videoing that. But you ask about guys, they get out there, and when we practice, we're off today, and we play tomorrow, but when we practice on Wednesday, we do base running. If somebody is one step outside of where they should be, I'll just see it. I can see it from across the field because I've been doing it so long. If they know not to get caught not paying attention to their leadoff. And that's the true foundation. Everybody wants to look. Like if you came to our games this weekend, you see one of our players moving around, gets a great jump. You're going to come up and say, what did he just do? What was that? How do I learn to do that? But they don't, a lot of times it can be ignored, the foundation it took for him to be able to do that safely. So mm-hmm. that's where we start in the tool set, is building out foundation. And then we teach options. Do we need momentum or not? How do we get momentum? A single shuffle, double shuffles. Really, it can go anywhere. Walking leads. We don't lean a lot. We used to. Every once in a while, I have a guy that likes to just lean into his jump. But pretty much the idea, it's kind of like we teach our infielders with the Auburn softball or Pedroia, how we shuffle our jumps and lands. Mm-hmm. You know, getting in motion can help us go. So if we're losing moving balance, we can accelerate right or left. Either way, and it's important that it's equal, mm-hmm. better than we can if we're standing still and stiff. So it's using that to get good jumps, to be able to take advantage of pitchers when they fall into trends, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm cautious saying that because it's not a guess. It's not for us. It's not a 1-1,000, 2-1,000 shuffle. That's one question I get all the time. How do you know when to time the shuffle? We don't time the shuffle. We feel it. We move and we feel the pitcher lift his leg and we go. Or we move and we feel the pickoff and we get back. And the more I make it a specific, the more robotic people get. When people get robotic, it's really hard to go right or left. So that's part of the battle of building a tool set, is like knowing a good jump, knowing what a good jump feels like. How do we move safely? How do we have all these options? And then number two, now where can I use this? What's the pitcher or catcher like? How are they going to defend it? Because, you know, Sheets, we play these teams all the time, and now I have a website and I have my Twitter account and all that. People know we're going to be aggressive on the base.
There's no secret. So
right, and that is kind of what I want. I want people to come in with a plan to defend it. Mm-hmm. I want that because at the end of the game day, it's about scoring runs. And I believe that, you know, if we get you fighting two front battles, multiple front battles, it's harder to just focus on getting our hitters out. It's mm-hmm. harder to focus on those things. So, you know, when we go in, you know, a lot of teams have a plan to defend it. Now, we can either just be robots and let them defend it, or we can defend what they're doing. It's like a pitcher. He mixes up looks for us. We mix up looks for him. And, you know, as long as we're moving safely, as long as we have that original foundation, the risk doesn't go up. It just doesn't. So, sure. And then the final thing is just giving guys freedom to take that Swiss Army knife and say, you can invent a blade out of it. You know, you don't have to use this or that. And I'm telling you, if you watch our guys this year, it's a lot of their second year of doing it. They do things I don't even know what they're doing. I'm like, what is this guy doing? And it worked. I'm like, hey, that's great. That's great. But they have the freedom to do that because they know the template. They know the foundation so well. So that's kind of nuts and bolts. I can dive in deeper to something specific if you want me to, but
that's exactly where I want to go with it, because I think if I'm listening to this as a coach, I'm going, well, okay, Coach Tallarico, then talk me through the specifics, especially relative to the big field, because we do have some youth coaches that listen and then high school and college guys, but let's talk on the big field. Do you guys talk specific steps? Do you talk specific distances? How do you go about implementing the specifics of that plan?
Yeah, we talk specific steps a lot. We always start with what we call our old school leadoff. footwork I stole from Coach Woodley at Defiance back when he was the assistant at Manchester. I can remember we're playing Notre Dame, and if you're from Indiana, that's like Ohio State or IU basketball, Ohio State football,
sure.
Penn State football. It's like if that was such a big deal to play in. Like I hit a single off a guy that ended up pitching in big leagues, but you know who's counting. But anyway, I hit this. I don't know. I just threw my barrel. I hit my barrel. But anyway,
sure.
I'm at first base and I'm pumped. I'm like I'm stealing off this guy. So I get my lead off. I look back at the base. I don't know what I was doing. I look back at the base, and sure enough, he picked right there. So I hit a single. He picked me off. I'm walking back to the dugout. Just highest highs, lowest lows.
Sure.
From after that game, Coach Woodley's like, "What are you doing?" I said, "I don't know why I started doing that." Well, I started doing it because I didn't know where I was on the field.
There you go.
And from that day, he said, "Hey, right, left, shuffle, shuffle. You'll end up about 12 feet."
Mm-hmm.
So I did that, and that's what we do. So you don't have to do that that way. But I think it's important to have a way to do it just so you know where you are on the field. And that's really the biggest advantage you can have over the pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
And what I was doing back when I was a player is I was giving up, just forfeiting that advantage. You know, I didn't know where I was. I was just out there. And, you know, you can't – when first series we played Clemson. The night before we practiced, I brought everybody out to first, and I said – we walked off our leadoffs. We did the same thing the next weekend at South Carolina. We did the same thing at Wofford. We walk out our leadoff, and it's almost true every time. The cut in the grass is different.
Yep.
On almost every field.
It's a great
and
point.
If at Clemson we would go the same spot it is at Wright State where we practice all the time, our 12-foot leadoff would have been about 13 or 14 feet. Then our risk is too high. It doesn't really help us. So it's knowing exactly where we are on the field. So, yeah, we do distances when we walk off our leadoff. So the same every time we practice it all the time. Just the other day we did old school leadoffs and returns. And this is a team that's done this forever. You know, our guys go through it. I try to make it quick. I don't want to make it miserable for them. But they need to be good at it. We need to keep refreshing it. We need to go over the basics all the time. So from that, we'll cut it in half for the template of our new school lead. We will go 6 feet to 12 feet. And it's really somewhere around there. I try to teach everybody that distance because it's usually not quite as far and it gets easier as they get in the spring.
Mm-hmm.
And then at second base, it would be, we started about 12 feet and we end up about, I don't know, moving. You know, it used to be specific. You asked how my view changed. That's one way it's changed, I guess, now that I'm talking to you.
Yep.
Is at second base, we try to get them moving instead of getting them into a distance. CJ Gilman at Air Force is a great base stealing guy. If you guys are on that area, former player, coach with him, and he's the one that said, you know, stealing second's kind of a science, stealing third's kind of an art, and that's what we've tried to embrace. You know, that there aren't as many rules. Just we've got some things we have to check as far as inside movement, things like that. And the same thing at third, we have our specific distances, but it really depends on where the third baseman's playing and if it's righty or lefty and all that stuff. So, yeah, we'll use specific footwork for yardage and feet for a template. And then after you know that, like the back of your hand, we start to eliminate those specifics. And that's where creativity comes. That's where you'll see some guys get a 2-foot lead, and you'll see some guys get a 10-foot lead. Some guys don't move at all. Some guys move multiple times. That's where all that stuff kind of comes in. It's from knowing your footwork.
I was just envisioning a coach listen to this, and you said, yeah, so when you were at third and you're talking about stealing, and they're going, what's he talking about? He's talking about stealing home? Guys, if you've ever seen Coach Tallarico roll, man, they will steal home on anybody. You want to dive into that real quick?
Yeah, weren't you at that – you were at that Gardner-Webb.
I was.
Yeah, Gardner-Webb, right?
First inning.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm all about freedom, and I love the kid who did it. He is, like, the best personality kid ever. And he's electric, man. The kid's special. Mm-hmm. Hits a triple, one out, steals home with our three hole hitter up on the throw back to the pitcher. So what did we do? First of all, the initial reaction is, you know, all the coaches want to kill him. And then I pulled him aside and I said, Zach, listen to me. Let's pretend his name is Zach.
Yeah.
It was Zach, but let's pretend. Zach, listen to me. That is not going to cost us a game. Mm-hmm. We have to be smarter with our hitter up, the hitter that's up right now, he's probably going to get you in. Like, we have to be smarter than that. He's like, you could tell he felt horrible. Mm-hmm. Get over it. It's not going to cost this game. We lost that game by one run. It did end up costing us the game. But we've learned from it. We've learned from it, and he's going to do it again. We practice it all the time. We talk about it all the time. Mm-hmm. We stole home in the regional. I still feel like the umpire blew the call, but it can sometimes shock the umpire too.
Sure.
But it's knowing where the options are there. Again, I don't want to be out if we do it. You know, the last time we were safe was a few years ago. But it's very hard to tell these guys, hey, the opening's there, if you've never talked about it.
Yeah.
So everything we do, we try. If we might do it in a game, we're going to talk about it. I'd be lying if I said we practice stealing home as much as we do stealing second and third. We don't. But we talk about it. It's been a couple of weeks. I'll probably talk about it again on Wednesday now that you brought it up.
Sure. You know, it's that moment happens. I'm at the game. I'm sitting there with Chelsea and Cooper, and we're by ourselves, and there's a group, a pocket of Gardner-Webb students in front of me and some people behind me. That moment happens. Now, I know what's going on, but that moment happens. They're all going, oh, they're crazy, and what's he doing? And even Chelsea, and I'm not going to correct them, but Chelsea leans over and goes, what's he doing? And I go, well, let me explain this to you. So, Matt, and I have to go into the whole explanation of the base running system. So she was like, oh, okay, that's just part of it. And I go, you got to roll. Sometimes you got to roll the dice, but I guarantee he didn't do it without information. Again, wrong spot, probably. You could debate that. But they've got information. They've got confidence. There's a mentality there in that program. And then it all starts to make sense. So I was definitely there.
Well, the funny thing is, yeah, that day, that moment, I'm not going to lie to you and be like, I'm so proud of him.
Sure.
But now looking back, I'm proud of him. You think about the confidence it takes a player to think he can pull that off.
Huge.
Without a sign, without talking to the coach, and he thought he could pull it off.
Yep.
He did it. He ran the risk. And, you know, it's my fault. I got to educate more on when's a good time to steal home. It's not when your three hole hitter's up and he's on fire. That's not a good time. But to know, you know, that it's in there, I'm telling you that he's going to figure out when it works for him. And the only way you can do that is fail every once in a while. And by the way, I know you were only at one of those two games, but what an awesome time it is playing Gardner-Webb and how creative they are on the bases.
Yes.
We played Gardner-Webb and then Wofford the next. So, I mean, you look at Wofford, Coach Donato's got those guys running all the time. So, it's just awesome watching. And everyone's talking about the time you stole 10 bags in a game or something like that. But, you know, I think we might have sold maybe three or maybe four in the two games we played them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one or zero against Wofford. I don't remember. But when you steal one bag against a team like that, because if you steal, you're good at defending people from stealing.
Yeah.
Because you work on it all year.
Exactly.
Like those are special. Like those are hard-earned stolen bases. So that was an awesome time playing those guys.
That's great. Well, you and I talked about this before we got recording. I think our listeners are across all levels of baseball. But if I'm a youth coach, specifically, let's talk, 5 to 14, and I'm maybe on the smaller field, and I'm still trying to teach hitting mechanics and throwing mechanics and basics. But your point, there's an element of bringing base running into those youth levels that can really take them off in the right direction. You want to open that up a little bit?
Definitely. Yeah, I've started working a lot more stuff with camps and just base stealing and base running too. And, you know, a lot of times it's not just, I'll say youth, even through like high school, where we'll get guys that are really talented players that you can tell basic base running's been overlooked, and definitely base stealing's never been talked about. Their leadoffs, they have weird things going on. And I think just like hitting or pitching, you've got to really put it in at least a part of a practice plan, because you're really doing them a disservice, especially the kid that's really talented, that can hit and can do other things well. You know, eventually it catches up to you, even if it's just basic base running and routes out of the box. You know what? We have some interesting theories about rounding bases, and I don't think you need to have special theories versus having a theory. From rounding first to scoring from second to how to read a fly ball if it's hitting the outfield. You know, like all that stuff really, really matters. And I think, you know, from that standpoint, it's a big deal. But I think base stealing too. One question I get a lot is, you know, at our level, let's say a high school coach says, you know, at our level, my fast guys can be successful stealing. You know, there's not a lot of catchers that throw us out. Well, I get that, but it's the same thing as if you have a pitcher that throws 90 miles an hour, you know, eventually he's going to have to learn how to throw a changeup. And when he gets to college, that 90-mile-an-hour fastball is not going to do the trick anymore. He's going to have to be able to locate off speed. He's going to have to – so it's our job to teach him how he can be successful and go at the next level, and that's what we're trying to do. You know, Mitch Roman was a shortstop for us at Wright State. He was drafted last year. In his first year at Wright State, he came from Sinclair. He goes to Wright State. First year, steals 8 bags. And when I came over, our first year working together, he stole 8 in the first 3 games. He ended up being a Horizon League leader, tied with our center fielder, who was also a draft that stole 11 the year before. So you give these guys these Swiss Army knife options, and they can use it at the next level. You know, he stole 26 for us. He goes to pro ball, steals 26. He goes to fall instruct, steals 26. You know, now it's a weapon he can have forever. And maybe it helped his draft stock. Maybe it didn't. I don't know. But it is help. You know, if you've got a guy that can really run at a high level because he's learned options, I think, number one, confidence on the bases is huge. And number two, he might be able to play through some sort of offensive slump, get hit by a pitch, produces, scores a run, confidence goes back up, he's hitting again. So I do think it's very important to teach our guys everything we can. And that's one reason why I put as much information I can out there. I think it's so important. You know, two of my guys I have coming in have come to a lot of our camps at Wright State where we put in base stealing. And, you know, they're having success this fall or this spring, and they're going to come in much better than the guys that came in this year, you know. So that's our goal, is to just keep getting guys better and getting them a better understanding. When you come in with a great foundation and maybe you understand how to use a couple of those pocket knife options, we can teach you a couple more. Like, our guys in our second year are much better than the first year. And the third year, I'm hoping, is better than the second year. So
sure. Mm. Coaches, I hope you're paying attention to this, and I hope you're challenging what you're doing offensively, and especially on the bases, as we sit here and talk with Matt Tallarico from SteelBases.com, also the assistant coach at Wright State University. And now we're going to go specifics into how we bring this into our practice plan, Maddie. And I know this is a little bit tough to do when we're talking through audio. It's so much better to get, like you said, holding court there at Anaheim and have a group of guys with you. But if we could, how do we transition this into the practice plan specifically? If you could talk us through some drills that you would recommend, or drills that you guys do that seem to be working for your players.
Yeah, the first thing I can do is take you kind of through the options of practice that we use. We really have 3 formats. Number one is developing technique, where most of our drills come in, which the main focus of technique as far as base stealing technique, not sprinting technique, but base stealing technique, is getting them to learn how to move safely. So drills that, if I said the name of them, they wouldn't make any sense, but if you can kind of imagine like basketball shuffling, getting lateral shuffling left and right, and then being able to accelerate off of that. And I think the whole goal for us that sums up most of our drills is to be able to do something athletic. Try to make this movement not robotic, but athletic. So a lot of times we'll mix throw on footballs to them after the step. Or like if you're going to do conditioning with them anyway, have them start with some of the technique and the footwork. Just a simple, you know, 6-foot shuffle and start, or a second base footwork. We go right foot out, cross, land. So it's kind of a crossover step, square up to the pitcher, check the inside move, and then shuffle, and then run. So we'll have them start with those things, or even stealing home. You can have them walk off the base like they're stealing home, and then do their sprint, even if it's like a suicide on the basketball court or whatever. I don't know if they still call them those anymore, where you go down and back and touch the line.
Yep.
You know, just trick them into doing something, doing the technique into something athletic, and that can really help. But it's technique is number one. Number two is the classroom setting. We do a lot of video. We talk about, we'll video them in games. Pickoffs are just as valuable as good jumps, absolutely equal, especially at the beginning, because usually if there's a pickoff, there's a fault in the technique. You know, we can show them that. You know, it's one thing to say, hey, you can't shuffle like that. It's another thing to just zoom in and be like, and tell them, look, well, this is what happened. This is why you got picked off. Because if the last I can say, hey, just timed you up perfect, what are you going to do? That doesn't give you an answer or anything to work towards to fix. But if there's definite flaw in the technique, and we can show you can work to fixing that, so that can do a lot for confidence too. And then the final thing is training. You know, we really try to utilize our conditioning time to be able to accelerate laterally from a baseline standpoint, both right and left, because returning is just as important as focusing on lifting and focusing on eating right. You know, obviously we want to have our guys strong, but we also don't need any wasted body fat or anything on the body. So we want to work to where, you know, our bodies are designed. Let's say we try to figure it like a machine. We put good fuel in the machine. We work the machine out. We sleep so the machine can recover. We talk a lot about that with our guys, and they're not perfect. They're not. None of us are perfect with right. that stuff. But to begin the process of educating, I think, is such a big deal. And I'm not a believer that if we tell them, hey, you need to weigh 220 when you weigh 200, there's a lot of different weights at 220. Mm-hmm. There's like 220 that's lean, and that'd be a pretty big guy. So that'd be like our first baseman, the private. Lean and strong, and there's 220 that's got unnecessary parts of, you know, unnecessary body fat. So it's training towards that. It's training towards how do we get good jumps and a lot of that stuff. I even tell our guys, like, YouTube's awesome. Get on YouTube and look up these, like, old school track guys that are going to teach how to accelerate. You know, the information is out there. Now, we do our own stuff with our players as far as that, but I'd be lying if I said I was inventing them. They usually came from a track coach that I used to work with that we found results. And I think the big thing is measuring it. It's timing it. It's being able to say, hey, this is what I ran yesterday. It was a little better, a little worse today, and keep building, because what gets recorded, you know, gets improved. So we really believe that. Mm. But we use the fall for conditioning and speed training, and the winter we focus on spring training. But right now in the spring, it's like 15 minutes every practice, no more than 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. If you came to watch us practice right now, you'd be like, that's it? But we put a lot of work in before. I think if you're a coach and you're thinking, I only have a week, I only have 2 weeks, I only have a month, this can be done. And I believe you just have to trim the fat. You'd have to say, okay, we're going to just focus on technique. We're going to get our guys to be able to move versus teaching them how to run. Because I've had a lot of guys that run funny that end up stealing a ton of bags because they really understand the technique. But that's kind of how we implement and practice. And then we'll also use it in our inner squads and games. We'll give them free passes to come back to first. I'm out there talking to them all the time. Mm-hmm. And that also gives our pitchers an opportunity to work on the running game. You get picked off, we just say, do it over. Sometimes if you're an experienced guy, we won't give you that luxury. Like the other day in practice, for example, we're doing an inner squad. I put a guy at first. I yelled across the field, try to steal with a new school jump on every single pitch and don't get picked off. So I want the pitcher to know he's trying to do it. And I want the pitcher to try to pick him off, and I want him to still try to get good jumps, because a lot of our guys are pretty advanced right now, and they can do that. Whereas if when we just started, a lot of coach pitch stuff, trying to get him to feel a good jump, because most people aren't going to defend right away if it's new to your conference or new to your area of the country.
That makes me completely off script, Maddie. But if I am a pitching coach and I'm listening to this, because obviously defending and attacking the running game is a huge element of working on the mound, how do you defend this? What would a pitching coach take out of this podcast and put into his practice?
Yeah, I mean, I wish you wouldn't ask the question. You know, I wish I could just ignore that one and have my phone go off. I don't think, you know, to be 100% honest with you, it's like everything can be defended. Everything. And most pitching coaches, even the ones I've worked with, so what if you did that, I would just do this.
Sure.
If you did that, I would just do this. Well then do it. Mm-hmm. Do it and let us figure out how to make that not happen. And it allows us both to grow. You know, there's a ton of good ways to defend it. But the bottom line is you're going to have to put work into defending it. Mm-hmm. And we're going to benefit from you putting work in. Remember, for us, defense against this doesn't mean pickoffs because we're moving safely. It means we might not steal as much. Mm-hmm. So in an effort to do that, you're going to have to pick off. You're going to have to mix your looks. You're going to have a catcher good enough to throw it down. And I really believe if you've made that a point, like, for example, we played Xavier this week. Nick Adi, dudes, those guys make a point to hold the running game. Every stolen base we've had against Xavier, I think we played them twice last year and had two. I can remember them. And that's because they're harder, and they had a big-time catcher. Every pitcher they throw is like a 1-1 to the plate. Those are hard-earned stolen bases, and they're a team that steals bases. You know, you can defend it, but they work on it. You know, if you don't make it a point, a priority in your program, it's going to be too late the day before. And in fact, we want like a last-ditch effort to defend it because we believe that we're going to get fastballs in the heart of the plate. And at the end of the day, I'm a hitting guy, and I want our guys to rake. So, sure. You know, I could give you ways. There are numerous ways. Hold the ball longer. Mix up your looks. Have the catcher back pick. Have the pitcher pick. Try to pick right when we shuffle. Try to, you know, mix in inside moves, spin moves. It's everything you know about holding the running game is still true. It's not that this is invincible. I've never said this is invincible. I just said if you're going to stop it, you got to put in work to do it. Mm-hmm. And if we're doing our job, we should still be getting back safely.
When you're bringing this program to your guys and we're getting this implemented, what's the feedback that you get initially? And then how have those conversations graduated over time? Like, as we've talked through 1,000 times, really raising the IQ, they're seeing things differently. But reflect on that. What would a coach really expect the feedback to be early? And then where can those conversations eventually go?
What's weird about this is you find out years later how crazy they thought you were. Like, right away, I always leave the meeting like, these guys are pumped, right? They get to see, you know, our guys steal. They get to see Brian Roberts steal bases. They get to see, you know, I used to get like Veritek or, you know, you see examples of big league guys doing it. They just happen and nobody talks about them. Nobody notices what happened. And so I'll capture those on video and I'll show guys. That's a lot of what I tweet out. But I'll sit them down, I'll show them, and they're excited. And then that first, what happens is right away they're successful. Our pitchers don't know what's going on. Then the pitchers start to defend, and then we fail. And it's about that time where it's like, okay, this is a little crazy. But when you come out of that first rut, then you've got real base stealers, guys that can get back and get jumped. And I think what happens is right away they're kind of skeptical, and I think it's great listening to guys afterwards. Like, we thought you were crazy, and, you know, it's just crazy. It's weird that we were taught to do something for so long. You know, I think I told you before, or maybe I said this at the last time I spoke, this time in Anaheim when I spoke. It's crazy that we still do things. Like, from the first time I got a leadoff, I was 13, and the local high school guy came and showed me how to get a leadoff. And you don't move until the pitcher moves, and you get a secondary like this, and you return like this, and you steal like this. And that's what I use. I mean, that's what I use my whole career. So when you look at these guys and say, hey, look, you can move before the pitcher moves, they all look at you like, yeah, I don't – what if he sees me and picks me off? Well, what if you get back when he picks off? Like, why is it that when you're moving a little bit, why does that make you more of a risk to get picked off? I don't get it. You know, and it's like when you start to think outside the box and when you encourage these guys to think outside the box, they can really grow. And it's amazing what I end up learning from every team. You know, there are guys on this team that are going to be more than qualified to coach, just like Jared Broughton, C.J. Gilman, Jimmy Raisinger, these former guys that I've – Sergio Placentia out at Glendale Community College, these guys that can go out and teach some of these things because, you know, they've taught me stuff just from having an open mind and not giving up on me right when I say, hey, try this. Mm-hmm. So,
Matty, real quick, you were talking about, you know, what these guys are doing in the off season. I know the college setup is maybe a little bit different, but even the high school guys or youth guys, they've got time off season in the fall or the summer. What are your guys doing to develop strength, develop speed that really help propel them through this plan to attack the bases?
Yeah, we try to attack this from a couple different angles. Like I said, we take a lot of pride in what we eat. I think that's something that would get overlooked, but it's all about functional body weight, like I mentioned, and make sure we're building what we do in the weight room, also in the kitchen and with sleep at night. But the weight room, the main thing I see is we have to be able to attack speed from different angles. Bottom line is, to get faster, guys have to run, right?
Yeah, that's like the last thing
guys want to do. Get faster, you got to run. So what guys want to do in the off season, most college guys or even high school guys, and you can probably guess this, if you're a hitter, you want to hit, you're going to hit off the tee probably a little too much. Mm-hmm. You're not going to hit off the machine enough. I know a lot of people, you know, are talking more and more about machine. I believe that you have to use that as part of your development. Most people live off the tee or front toss because you can have a high success rate. You don't fail a lot. And, you know, and the same thing, they want to lift. They want to get under the bench press. They want to, you know, get the triceps, you know, looking good for the tank tops that everybody's wearing now. So when they go to the beach or the lake or wherever they're going. And our point is to make, you know, explosive strength. And to do that, I believe that there's different types, and this isn't my opinion. This is, you know, if you, any strength, I'll tell you, hypertrophy, you're going to work from the 8 to 12 rep range. From building strength, you're going to be somewhere about around 5 reps. To building power, you're 1 to 3 reps. So like looking at those reps, what are you really trying to do? Number one, are you doing lifts that are going to promote you getting faster? Squats, deadlifts, you know, presses, cleans, things like that that are going to get you more explosive, and you can work in that rep range with the right amount of weight. So we try to focus on that without getting into too much detail. And, you know, like I said, to get faster, you got to run, you got to sprint. So what's your plan? Did you sit and write down how many sprints you're going to run Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday? Are you a little heavy? Do you need to get rid of some body fat? So you're going to do a little more metabolic type training where you get your heart rate up so you can lose some of that weight so we can actually run faster, and just the focus of getting powerful. So we have got one guy right now that's getting medical redshirt. He had Tommy John, and we met the other day, and we said we're going to attack this from a few different ways. This is how we're going to eat. This is how you're going to lift. And here are the explosive type sprints we're going to do. We're going to do lots of you know, explosive jumps. You know that feeling where, especially guys like us, we haven't played basketball in a long time, and all of a sudden you get out in basketball court, you've never really jumped. Like, that's not something you do after, like,
right.
Like 18, you stop jumping for some reason. And all of a sudden you get the courage to jump as high as you can to do whatever. And, like, you feel in your back, and like, that's never happened before.
Sure.
You know, you get done, and you're kind of, like, lightheaded. You did one rep of one explosive movement, and it's like, wow, that felt like I just squatted, like, 8 reps of heavy weight. You know, it's working in that area. It's being able to explode and get used to doing that. And then we bring it back to our technique. So now we're going to go technique, explosive lifts, and hard sprints, and then chart it and try to get faster. Because like I said, it's just like pitching. Yeah, pitchability is great. We want you to be able to have great command. But at the end of the day, if you got a little more velocity, you're going to get away with stuff. So if we get a little more speed and continue work, because you don't want to be the guy, especially at the high school level, you go to a showcase and you run, you know, a 7.5.60 and say, but wait, I can steal bases. I've got really good technique. That's going to be like the pitcher with pitchability. It's going to be too easy to pass. Mm-hmm. Get your 60 time down. What young guys don't understand is, versus like me and you, if we get out and say we're really going to get faster, we got our work cut out for us. Our body's done growing. Mm-hmm. These guys are growing. There are no rules what they can be like in 5 years. So if they start putting work now, say, I really want to get faster, here's my plan to get there. They attack it from the kitchen, the weight room, from sprinting, from learning technique. Who's to say they can't be a good base? I don't care how big you are. I don't care how small you are, how big you are, what you did last year. You can work for next year to be good, to be faster. You don't know how your body's going to respond to training it's never done. So that's what I try to encourage our guys. That's what we're working with a couple of my players now that are redshirted. Instead of giving him a bunch of BP, he's a great hitter. It's like, hey, you want to be a pro guy, let's get you explosive. Let's get you fast. Let's get you, when you run a 60, pro scouts are thinking, wow, this isn't something we're going to have to look past. This is going to be something that's going to benefit them. Actually, we're coming out. One of my former players, a catcher for us at Dayton, is a strength coach in South Carolina. We're actually going to do some stuff for the website for that angle, too, here in a few months. But it doesn't have to be from that. If you really want to learn, I believe you can get on the internet and find anything and just be creative. Chart down what worked and what didn't. And you're going to be amazed that when you start sprinting regularly, you're going to get faster.
That's great. Thank you for opening that up for us. I think when the last one, we'll wrap this up, Matt, you've been so forthright and just given us some great information that our coaches can use. But again, if I'm a coach and I'm sitting here and I'm taking this all in, I'm kind of a little overwhelmed. Like, where do I go from here? What's the next step for these coaches, Matt?
Well, I'm biased, but everything I know I put on my website. So go to steelbases.com. Please, if you have any questions, just hit the contact button. Ask me questions, anything from technique to what exactly you're getting to. If you're interested in bringing somebody out here to Dayton or me going out there, I want to work with guys. I've done that. I've gone out to different places around the country, and I'm planning on doing that. I just like doing it. Like, I really like
That's
doing
awesome.
It. And I feel very lucky that, Coach Roberts was, took time that day and kind of lit this fire, and I feel like that's what he would do too, because he did it for me. He gave his cell phone number out on the podcast.
Oh yeah.
That is just awesome. So that is number one. Check out my site, check out my Twitter. There's a bunch of stuff on there too. I think it's coachmikeroberts.com. He has a website. He's got some stuff on there too. But if I were you, if you're in the area, somewhere in, near Piedmont, or you're near, Air Force, or any of these places, Los Angeles, where I have former players, looking those guys up, they've done a great job with what they're doing, but they're very knowledgeable, and I'm very proud of what they've been able to do. So CJ Gilman, Jimmy Raisinger at Air Force, and Jared Broughton at Piedmont, Sergio Placentia at Glendale, I'm sure I have other players out coaching high school, look those guys up, pick their brains. That's the best thing, is getting around people or getting around all the information and really diving in for yourself, making yourself the guy that does it versus relying on somebody else. So one thing I often say is, to my members, is it's great to show them the videos and it's great to show them that stuff, but I think it's better when they can come to you and say, what do you see? And you have an answer because you dove into it and you wanted to learn everything you could about it. Because there's a lot of confidence to be gained when they look at you and you give them an answer that you believe in versus, let me look it up. So I believe reaching out to some of those guys would help too. I'm really proud of what they've been able to do. And, so that's where I would start. So please, if you have any questions, my email, the contact button on there, I'll take you to email. You can go to Wright State to the coach's bio and get matthew.talrico@wright.edu. My cell is 937-751-6016. Text, call. Usually if you call and I don't answer, shoot me a text and I'll call you back. I love talking about it. I talk to probably one or two new guys a week that I've never even heard from that have a question. Some are members, some aren't members. I don't care. I'll answer whatever question you have. So please reach out. I like talking about this stuff and I want to see more and more people doing it.
All about adding more tools to our Swiss Army knife. Outstanding stuff. Guys, we've been talking with Matt Talarico, assistant coach at Wright State University, also the creator of steelbases.com. Coaches, we know you were taking feverish notes, really getting this stuff down, and we're excited about you taking this info and taking it to your kids and your programs. And Matt, we cannot thank you enough for joining our calls on the Clubhouse podcast and giving us this information. Matt, we appreciate it. We wish you guys good luck to the Raider gang the rest of the spring.
Hey, Sheets, first of all, thank you. I think it's great what you're doing, and the ABCHA and the podcast. It's so awesome. I only wish you would have started, 10 years ago when I was coaching. I think
sure.
It's great. What an honor to have to be on here. Thanks a lot. I definitely appreciate it.
It's our pleasure, Matt. Appreciate what you're doing, and we wish you the best of the luck, my man.
All right. Thank you.
and yet another tremendous episode. Big thanks to Matt Tallarico, assistant coach over at Wright State University, and also the creator of SteelBases.com. If you're interested in checking out some tremendous videos that Matt's put together, and again, diving into even more of his thoughts and ideas around base stealing, head over to his website and check him out. You've also got his contact information there. Please be very respectful of that, but at the same time, Matt wants you to reach out. He wants to talk base running. I love the fact he stays vulnerable to listen to how other guys are doing it, taking in that info, challenging even what he's doing. But again, when you look on paper what Matt's done with this base running plan, he ranks among the nation's elite, and it's easy to see why. If you watch Wright State play, you'll see how aggressive they are. But again, Matt, thanks for joining us on our podcast, breaking down this great information for us. We wish you and the Raider gang the very best the rest of the season, and we appreciate you being a proud ABCA member. And as always, another huge thanks to AstroTurf for their sponsorship of our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. And if you're interested in learning more how AstroTurf can help take your facility to unseen levels, guys, they've done it for over 200 fields around the country. You got to head over to astroturf.com. That's astroturf.com. Talk to the experts in the turf industry on how they've stayed ahead of the curve for over 50 years. And remember, guys, this podcast is for you. These are perfect for the car rides or bus trips, when you're working out, you're mowing your field, anywhere that fits in your schedule. Guys are always there for you to connect with the very best baseball minds in our game. So here's how you stay updated on all the great episodes that we've put out to date, but also the ones that we have coming up. You just stay tuned. Number one, head over to iTunes or Google Play and hit that subscribe button. If you click that button, these shows will show up on your phone or your computer every single time we put a brand new episode out each Tuesday. So go ahead and click that button. Number two, stay plugged into our website, abca.org. If you click on the resources tab at the top, Calls from the Clubhouse podcast link will be right there waiting for you. You can see all the content and guests we put out up to this date. Click on the exact ones you want to hear right then and there. And number three, just give us a follow on Twitter at ABCA1945. We always announce the release of our show through our Twitter account. We'll post some quote images and different things. You'll see the feedback and engagement from coaches around the country that are tweeting us about the show. But stay tuned to what's going on Twitter, and you'll never miss what's going on with our podcast. Speaking of Twitter, guys, we're looking ahead to Monday, May 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time will be our very next hashtag ABCA chat. Now, for those old enough to know this is like the AOL chat rooms from the 1990s, where we surround ourselves around the hashtag ABCA chat with coaches from all over the world. And what we're doing is the ABCA account are posing questions. The coaches that are on the chat, they're providing their answers or their feedback. And we're all engaging and connecting, learning and growing. We love to see this information being shared and out there for anybody and everybody to come through and retweet or like or quote tweet and engage. And it's such an awesome venue, guys. So again, if you're a coach or a parent or a player and you're looking to gain some more insight into what's going on, especially relative to this podcast and base running and base stealing, look ahead to our hashtag ABCA chat coming at you Monday, May 1st, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we look forward to seeing you check in. Again, make sure you're following us on Twitter. That's at ABCA1945. We have our membership information on there, messages from some of our sponsors. We try to post coaching articles and insight, plus all of our podcast information. So make sure you're up to date with us on there. Also, you can find me directly at CoachSheets3 on Twitter, or you can shoot me an email. That's Sheets, S-H-E-E-T-S, at abca.org. Do us a favor, guys. If you love this show or any of our shows, put us a tweet out there. Throw us a message. Send us an email. We love the engagement and hearing from you guys. I can almost guarantee you you'll get a retweet out of us. We just want to make sure that we're spreading the great word about what's going on here at the ABCA. We love hearing how it's affecting you personally, how it's affecting your players and your teams. Love getting messages about you guys as coaches playing these podcasts for your players. Again, it's all about growing the game of baseball, and we appreciate what you guys are doing to help spread the great word. And last but certainly not least, again, reminding you, this is the podcast for the American Baseball Coaches Association. We represent over 8,000 coaches worldwide, and we hope that you have jumped on board with us. So if you're listening to the show and you've already joined, we appreciate it. But if you haven't, head over to abca.org, check out the membership benefits, learn about all the great things we're doing for our coaches and for the game of baseball. And as always, coaches, we thank you guys for listening in. We appreciate each and every one of you guys staying dialed in to our Calls from the Clubhouse podcast. But until next week, just keep growing, keep developing, keep challenging your why. We wish you and your club the very best. And thank you for what you're doing for the game of baseball.